Join the conversation at everydaynovelist.com. Submit a question, leave a comment, or a creative death threat. Or find the host at J.D. Sawyer on Minds.com, or hit him up at feedback@jdsawyer.net. We can't do it without you.
Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer, author of nearly 30 books, more than 30 short stories, and numerous articles and scripts and essays, coming to you from up in the crow's nest with my spyglass on this daily voyage through the dicey waters of business, craft, learning, and art in the writing life.
Today we are continuing our series on Going Pro, suggested by Ed, and today we have a question from Small Business Ed about Small Business Ed. Today's topic is small business education, and it is prompted by this question from Small Business Ed.
So, you're going to go into your hybrid. What do you need to learn? What's absolutely key, and what can you farm out? Accounting and bookkeeping? Tax law? Contracts and copyrights? Honestly, the learning curves are a bit overwhelming.
You can farm all of it out after you know it, and after you have the income to pay people for it.
You have to know enough of it to be able to know that the people that you are hiring know what they're doing and aren't stealing from you.
And the best way to ensure that is to know enough of it to do it competently on your own. That way, you hire someone who knows more than you do, is better at it than you are, that they're above a certain quality threshold.
Mm-hmm.
The learning curve is a lot less intimidating than it looks like when you're looking at it from not knowing anything. Here's what it looks like. Tax law. You get all the basics from Tax Savvy for Small Businesses, put out by Nolo Press, written by, I think it's Stephen Fishman, but he's the one that writes the copyright handbook, so I'm not sure if it's the same guy. But you read that every year. Gets you familiar with the basic concepts involved in tax law. Basic accounting is probably the most intimidating because it involves essentially learning a whole new way of information organization.
Mm-hmm.
But it is pretty basic, and any accounting 101 textbook or easy accounting for small business textbook or anything else like that will get you there pretty damn quick. Business law, a little more complicated, but you really only need to know the stuff that's related to your business form.
And your state.
And your state, and also contracts, and if you're employing anyone, you need to know the basics of employment law. That gets a little sticky, but at the beginning, you're not going to be employing anyone but you, and, you know, if you sexually harass yourself, that's called masturbation, and if you object to this to HR, the HR person is going to tell you to go fuck yourself, which is how you got in there in the first place, so, you know, it's a circle jerk. So, if you're your only employee and you have HR problems, you don't need a lawyer. You need a psychiatrist.
And if you're in a if you're in a family business and you have HR problems, you need a marriage counselor.
Yeah. But that said, you do need to know about payroll, tax withholding, and whatnot if you're your own employee. Because at a certain point, you have to deal with that stuff. And if you're a sole proprietor, you have to deal with it in the form of self-employment tax. So either way, Tax Savvy for Small Businesses will get you the basics of how that works. And the book C-Corp, S-Corp, LLC, which is linked to below, will give you the basics of the different kinds of non-sole proprietor business structures that are on offer and what advantages they give you.
And the copyright handbook is also
next. We're going to talk about
key.
Copyright. Copyright law doesn't change nearly as much as tax law, but it does change a little bit every once in a while. So you want to stay current using the copyright handbook by Stephen Fishman. Fishman is a wonderful writer, and he's very easy to read. The concepts underlying copyright are pretty damn simple, and the only real issue you have is making sure that you are in compliance in whatever way is strategically appropriate for you. So read copyright law to understand what that looks like, and also to make sure you understand what you could be opening yourself up to if you use someone else's work in the wrong way. And because you want to be able to understand what the wrong way is. There's a few basic concepts. One is what copyright itself is. The second one is what fair use is. And fair use depends on two important terms: substantial similarity and sufficiently transformative. Mm-hmm. If a work is substantially similar to the work that it is apparently based on, then it is a derivative work. It is a copyright infringement, and or it is owned by the original copyright owner, at least in part. If the work is sufficiently transformative, then it is not close enough to the work that it was ostensibly inspired by to be a copyright infringement. There's also fair use provisions for non-fictional work involving commentary and quotation. And you want to be really careful about those, and you want to understand those. But those
copyright, and also parody.
And also parody. But copyright law is something you need to be understanding now, because you're writing now and publishing now. So that's the one I would start with. So, tax savvy for small businesses, S-Corp, C-Corp, LLC, and the Copyright Handbook, all in the show notes below. Please do click through and buy them from us, because we get a commission from that, and that helps keep us afloat here. And as you may have gained from earlier entries in this series, sometimes we run pretty thin. So it's always nice to have a little extra, and that way doesn't cost you anything. Now, what else? Contract law. Contract law is... I don't have a good book to refer. I got all my contract mentoring from people who did contracts and from lawyers. Contract law is basic to all business. The basic rules that I learned that seem to have served me in good stead every time I've had to get a lawyer and a lawyer has looked at my contracts is you want every contract to be written so that it can be executed by the mendacious, untrustworthy third cousin of both parties who will inherit the obligations of the contract after you and the other party accidentally die in a drunken car accident. The reason is that no matter how well you think you understand each other, you and the person you're doing business with, if one of you is incapacitated, someone else is going to have to execute the contract. If one of you remembers things slightly different than the other one, a vague part of the contract will become a bone of contention and can destroy a relationship. Everything needs to be thoroughly documented in specific language. If you write your contracts like that...
And by specific language, we do mean specific legal language, because legal language is...
No, I don't mean legalese. Legalese developed to be very specific, but you can have an enforceable contract in plain English as long as you define your terms within the contract.
Okay.
Define the terms within the contract, and you can make it, you label it a memo of agreement or a memo of understanding. Those typically are not enabled by lawyers, and so judges look at them through the lens of plain language.
All right.
And you can also specify in the body of the contract that it is a plain language agreement. But those things are important.
What I mean is that you want to avoid using language that means something specific in legalese that it doesn't mean in normal speak.
Yeah, to be really, really good about that, you have to be a lawyer. So that's why it's better to, if you're not having a lawyer draft it up, you want to specify in the contract what that it's a plain language agreement. And define your terms.
Okay.
Now, what you contract to, you are obligated to. Doesn't matter if it's not fair. And that's really important to keep in mind. You sign your name to something, that's a blood oath under penalty of perjury. And you've got to fulfill your end of the deal. A contract must always, to be valid, specify consideration. Each party has to get something out of it.
Mm-hmm.
If it does not, if it's a one-sided contract, it's not enforceable. So it needs to specify who is paying what and what benefit each person is getting. It needs to specify performance dates, deadlines, quality of work, spec of work, other obligations that each party has. If you're signing an agreement to publish something, is the publisher you're signing with buying the right to publish it, or are they buying the obligation to publish it? Because it's not the same thing. A publisher can buy the right to publish something and bury it. It happens all the time. Most publishers will fight tooth and nail if you try to put the obligation to publish in, but it can be done. If you look at the controversy going on around the Joe Rogan podcast and Spotify not uploading all the episodes, the sticking point in the contract that is currently under dispute is whether Spotify has the exclusive right to publish Joe Rogan's podcast, or whether that right brings with it an obligation to publish Joe Rogan's podcast. And if it bears an obligation, then they are going to lose the censorship battle. But if it bears only the right, then Rogan will lose the censorship battle. That's what it's all going to come down to eventually. But every term in a contract can be a right or an obligation, or both, and you want to make sure you're clear about which is which. You want everyone to be able to read the contract, come out at the end of it with the same understanding of the nature of the relationship outlined and encapsulated by the contract. Those are the basics. Most other things you can learn by just reading some contracts. And one really good way to do that is Nolo Press offers a subscription service which gets you access to a whole library of boilerplate contracts drawn up by lawyers that you can download and use, or download and read, or download and archive for later. But reading contracts and getting used to the way they read and the way they're structured will serve you in good stead. And it'll also start to get you savvy to what kind of tricks can be buried in this in a contract. Even though there aren't tricks buried in the Nolo contracts, you can do things like use a word that has a plain language meaning all through a contract, and then in this little clause at the end or somewhere in the middle where it seems unrelated, you can define that term as having a specific and really nasty meaning. This happens a lot. This is how people lose their shirts. They read contracts, think they're reading something in plain language, ignore the definitions that pop up incidentally in the flow of other clauses. And yet, those definitions are what are used to interpret that word through the whole contract.
Mm-hmm.
That's how people use lawyers to legally steal things. But those are the basics. And the rest you can learn just through experience, and actually you can watch lawyers on YouTube. They'll talk a lot about stuff like this.
In terms of recommendations, I would suggest your book, Business 101, as further information.
That's
and I forget the title, but Chris Rush's business book.
Yeah, How to Negotiate Anything.
Yeah.
And yeah.
That deals
with... That's actually really good about the basics of contracts and negotiation.
Yes. And that's geared towards publishing...
Someone who doesn't know anything and is publishing indie.
And I was going to say that is geared towards the publishing and entertainment industry, which is what we are dealing with.
Mm-hmm. So those are the things you... other things you want to get your handle on, basic financial terms like cash flow and the difference between cash flow and assets and liabilities, because they're all three different and important. Any basic business book will do that for you. Keep listening to this show for what it's worth on those fronts. The learning curve looks really steep from where you're at because there are specialties that deal only with parts of these things. But most of those specialties are there because most people who use them are running really huge enterprises and require a lot of data management in order to make their deals and their finances work properly.
Mm-hmm.
You're not at that point. You can learn on the way up. And it's not all that difficult. You remember, the common law system was built as you go. It was built by people who needed to figure things out because they didn't have a way to do it. So most of the contract law and the business law in America and in Canada and in the former British Empire is basically governed by English common law, and most of that is basically based on common sense. And it's developed out of competing interests having to work things out in real time, using usually the adjudication of someone they both respect, up until a couple hundred years ago, it wasn't formal judges almost anywhere. And a great deal of what passes for business law in the U.S. is just common practice. So, don't get too intimidated. It's actually really easy to pick up. Just start dipping your toes in the water. Just start listening to people talk business.
Mm-hmm.
Don't even ask questions. Just listen to the talk. It will start to make sense. Then ask questions once you feel like you've got some kind of an understanding. But it comes a lot easier than you think. I mean, I learned this from nothing because I was the child of a college professor who wouldn't know what to do with money if it fell on his head, which was the source of a lot of our woes growing up. And I didn't start learning business until I was 24, 25 years old. And I was writing my own contracts by the time I was 28.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had lawyers look at them, and they're pretty bulletproof.
Right.
And I've never signed a contract I wasn't happy with as a result. It's not that hard. All you got to do is get over how scary it looks.
That's right.
So that'll do it for this episode. What is our next topic that we'll be tackling tomorrow?
Production.
All right. So, and is that our last episode or is there...
I think there's a couple more.
There's a few more. So tomorrow we'll be talking about production in this ongoing series from Small Business Ed, Going Pro. Sorry, Ed, I had to tease you. I love the series. Thanks for sending it in. And we'll see you tomorrow.
The Everyday Novelist is written by J. Daniel Sawyer and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and Kitty Nakian and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. The text is copyright 2019 J. Daniel Sawyer and the production is copyright 2019 Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license and all other rights are reserved to their respective owners.
Join the conversation. Submit a question, leave a comment, or a creative death threat. Or find me at jdsawyeronminds.com or hit me at feedback@jdsawyer.net. We can't do it without you.